It happened in Maastricht. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today I have a story. It's a true story and it's fun. The purpose of me telling stories on the Input English channel is to create comprehensible input. If you can understand these stories, if you can follow what is happening, you will absorb the English language. These stories are purpose-built to create very concentrated language for people to hear and understand and thus learn language. I don't put a lot of scenery and background music in to distract you or to chew up your valuable time. These videos are almost pure language. As I said, this is a true story and it dates back to 2018. In early 2018, I decided to visit a fellow in Belgium for work. I wanted to visit this fellow to learn what he was doing and see what I could learn to help me in my work. The trouble, of course, is that his location was over 5,500 miles away. So to get to his location, I needed to fly for about 14 hours from San Francisco to Europe and then travel to his location. The city that I needed to visit was Genk in Belgium. There are no airports near to his location, so I would have to travel to a different city and then arrange more local transportation. My plan was to spend one day on the ground. With that revelation, I realized that I was going to spend more time traveling than actually visiting this fellow, but I felt that it was important, so I resigned myself to doing just that. I shared my concerns with my wife, pointing out that it was a very long trip for a very short visit. As I talked to her, I was thinking out loud. I was thinking, well, I could fly into Amsterdam or Paris, perhaps Frankfurt, and then travel by train or car to get to the location. My wife's response surprised me. She wasn't concerned at all about the short visit and the long travel. She looked at this as an opportunity and a puzzle. She immediately said, well, we could fly into Amsterdam and then take the train down. The key word in her statement was we. She had determined that she was coming along. And of course, that was fine by me, but that wasn't the way I had been thinking about this trip. I had been thinking about this trip as work-related. She was looking at the problem with fresh eyes. She had a different point of view, and she quickly volunteered that we could fly into Amsterdam together. She said we could spend a few days in Amsterdam. There are lots of things to see there. Well, of course. She and I had been to Amsterdam many times. We liked the Schiphol Airport. We liked the convenience of getting from the airport to the city, and we really love Amsterdam. So I was sold on that plan. She then continued. She pointed out that we could take the train down to Paris and spend a few days in Paris after I was finished in Belgium. Again, I saw the merits in this. This trip was starting to take form, and I was starting to enjoy the prospect of spending a week in Europe with my wife. And I just considered the meeting in Genk with this fellow as a necessary evil. That is an important ingredient, but nothing that I would really look forward to personally. As we discussed this topic and I was accepting of her ideas, I went online and looked up the proximity of Maastricht to our destination in Belgium. I figured that it was fairly close. It was very close. Maastricht is on a narrow strip of land that extends from the Netherlands down to the level of Belgium. Maastricht was only about a 30-minute drive from my proposed destination in Belgium. With that information, I said we should go to Maastricht as well. I hear that's a wonderful city, and I'd like to see it. So my first surprise on this trip was how my wife looked at the problem and crafted it into a very elegant solution, and we did it together because I wanted to see Maastricht as well. I provided her with the date of my meeting in Belgium, and then she started looking for airline tickets and hotel accommodations. She booked tickets for us to fly from San Francisco direct to Amsterdam on KLM. Now that was very positive because she and I really like flying on KLM. We had flown that route before and it is very comfortable. It's long, but it's comfortable. She booked an Airbnb apartment near to the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra. Why would we want to have an apartment near the orchestra hall? Well, that's pretty clear. She also booked us tickets for the symphony. We had been to the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra in the past, and it is superb. She got tickets for us in the balcony to watch a symphony concert. She booked an apartment near the Bastille in Paris. It was an Airbnb apartment, and it was a different location than we usually stayed when we were in Paris. Usually we would stay in Saint-Germain, but now she has us booked in the area near the Bastille. The reason she chose that location was that it was near to the opera house. She booked tickets for us for the opera in Paris. We are not big opera goers, but we figured it would just be a fantastic experience, and it was. She also booked a hotel in Maastricht. What started out as a one-day visit to a city in Belgium gradually transformed to a week in Europe. And then that gradually transformed into 2 weeks in Europe. The final plan took us to Amsterdam for a number of days. We then took the train down to Maastricht for several more days. On the 14th of May, I needed to be in Genk for 1 day, which I was. And then the following day, we took the train to Brussels and then on to Paris. Several days in Paris were planned, and that's the way we did this trip. I started this episode with the statement, "It happened in Maastricht." Recall that the side trip to Maastricht was just an idea I had. It was an afterthought. It was a side trip that I wanted to do that made sense because it was an opportunity. We stayed on the east side of Maastricht, on the east side of the river. The river Meuse goes through Maastricht and separates the city into two parts. The older part of the city is to the west, and the newer part of the city is to the east. Maastricht was connected across that river since 50 AD. This was a Roman town. This was a Roman settlement, and in 50 AD, the Romans built a wooden bridge across the Meuse, and that bridge, with multiple repairs, of course, over the years, lasted until the 13th century when it collapsed. When the Meuse River Bridge collapsed in the 13th century, it was rebuilt with more modern technology. In the 14th century, a lot of fortifications, large walls and fortifications, were built to protect Maastricht from potential invasion. Most of that fortification is seen today on the west side of the river. We stayed on the east side of the river, but had easy access on foot across that river. The east side has more modern architecture and a lot of artists work in that area. I was impressed with some of the ceramic shops that we saw. We walked around Maastricht. We enjoyed the sights, the narrow streets, the cobblestones, and the history. We learned a lot while we were there. We had wonderful food, and we planned on taking the train on the afternoon. There was no need to get an early start, so we planned on continuing our tour and enjoyment of Maastricht on foot the morning of the day of our departure. We crossed the river into the west side of Maastricht and arrived over there around lunchtime. We were actually quite hungry, and we were intent on finding a good place to have lunch. Relatively near to the river, we found a restaurant that was open, and it looked fairly busy, so we figured that would be a good option for us. We went in, and we were told we would need to wait. They would get us a table, but it would be a couple of minutes. We were happy to wait. It wasn't a hurry, but we were quite hungry. The place was very busy, but there was something very odd. All the people around us, nearly all of them, were holding musical instruments. Next to us, there were people holding flutes or clarinets, and then there were trumpets and saxophones. They were dressed in a normal dress. They dressed normally. They weren't in uniforms, but they were all holding or carrying musical instruments. Larger instruments were put to the side, but we could see them. We analyzed what we saw and discussed it among each other, but we couldn't understand what the people were saying because they were speaking Dutch. We didn't choose to ask them what they were up to. We just concluded that this was a musical group, an ensemble, a concert band that had gotten together, and it appears that they had perhaps rehearsed and decided to have lunch together. But they still had all their instruments out of their cases. That puzzled me, but for some reason, I didn't ask. After waiting a few minutes, we were ushered to a table. We had a nice lunch, and then we left. Some of the other people with their instruments had left, but some of them were staying in the restaurant even after we left. We had decided to go to an old bookstore in the old section of Maastricht. We wanted to visit this bookstore, and I knew where it was, so I had a plan how to walk there through these narrow streets. Navigation in Maastricht is easy. Having walked a good way into the older section of town, we came into an intersection where several roads came together. One road came in from each side, and then another road went away from those two other roads, so it formed a Y-shaped intersection or a T-shaped intersection, and at the top of that T or that Y, there was a big building, perhaps a church. That building had a double stairway, that is, stairs came up from each side with a landing and then a door. That was not out of the ordinary, but as we arrived in that intersection that was larger than the other streets we had been traveling, I noticed something. On the landing of that double stairway, there was a fellow with a big video camera. I turned to my wife and said, "Something's going to happen here. That video camera is big and expensive. Somebody went to a lot of trouble to be ready for something here." She agreed. And then one of us said, "Well, why don't we hang out here and see what happens?" There was no sign of any other activity other than the presence of that video camera. Everything else was normal. People were moving along the sidewalk. crossing the street, everything appeared to be normal, save for that video camera. So we busied ourselves talking and looking in the windows. We walked around that area, but we didn't stroll too far away from the video camera. We figured that's where the action was going to be. And we were right. Perhaps 15 minutes after we arrived in that intersection in the old part of Maastricht, something did happen. A drummer started playing a drum. Just a lone drummer beating on a drum. Beating out a rhythm on a drum. Immediately, a second drummer started, and then a third. And within minutes, people started coming out of the streets and alleyways. Some came out of the stores. People came out of every location and joined in this musical endeavor. We were right. Something happened. It was a flash mob. It was a community concert band, musicians that played together regularly. They gave concerts together regularly, and they had decided to do a flash mob event right there. This is why the video camera was on that landing at the top of the stairs. We had a front row seat. Well, there were no seats, but when you say we had a front row seat, that's a metaphor. We were right there, directly in front of the action, and we could see it up close. Within a couple of minutes, a large concert band had assembled, and they were playing, and one fellow stood up with a baton, and he directed this band with his baton, and they played very well as an ensemble. Ensemble is a group of musicians. An ensemble can be four musicians or 50 or 100. This was a large concert band, and they were very good. As is typical for flash mobs, they played one big musical piece, and then it ended. When the musical piece ended, the band dissolved. All the band members disappeared. They didn't hang around. They didn't stay. The whole band simply vanished. This is part of the typical pattern one sees with flash mobs. They come together very quickly, and at the end, they dissolve. They barely gave the audience a chance to applaud. We did applaud. We have all seen flash mobs on videos on YouTube, and I find them rather entertaining. Frequently, the performances are quite good. It's a very different experience to be present when the flash mob occurs. After the performance, we went on to our bookstore as planned. We traveled to Genk for two nights so that I could do the visit that was the purpose of this entire European trip. After we finished in Genk, we took the train as planned to Brussels and then caught our train down to Paris. Our trip to Europe was an open jaw trip. This is airline jargon for an itinerary where you fly to your general destination. You then travel by another route to your departure location, and then you come home. In other words, there's a gap in the air travel that you substitute other modes of transportation. In our case, train travel. So this is a term you may hear, an open jaw reservation. An open jaw is a metaphor for the two legs with a gap between them. As we look back on that trip and that experience with the flash mob, we realized that that was an experience that we could not have anticipated and could not have planned. There was no possibility that we could have arranged that experience on purpose. It was one of those magical things that just happened we were in the right place at the right time. I do hope that you have subscribed to the Input English channel. If you have not, please hit that subscribe button. It's free. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.